lead of 249 runs for India at the end of day two. Ravichandran Ashwin finishing with his 29th five-wicket haul in Test cricket, climbing the ladder, isn't he? But England getting rolled over for 134. Not many surprises there, but a lot of complaints, especially on social media. And that will be a topic of debate as we welcome you to Hotspot Daily. As always, I'm Chetan Narula. And with me, my friend from London, Daniel Norcross. Daniel, first word on England's, I wouldn't say collapse, but inevitable low score, perhaps?
Yes, I think so. We saw it coming yesterday. We saw it when we saw the pitch exploding on occasion. And this is not to have a go at the pitch. It's to point out that, you know, English players against spin, some of them are very good. Joe Root's a very good player of spin. Ben Folkes, Ollie Pope, they're good players of spin, but they don't often see spin quite in this way. The kind of pitches that that they will encounter, certainly in England, where there is turn, it turns differently. And the techniques were exposed, really. It was really noticeable that the Indian batters, especially Rohit Sharma, Pujara, Rahane, used their feet, got to the pitch of the ball, negated the turn where they could, were nimble on their feet. The England batsmen tend to play, when they play it at their best, they tend to play in the sort of Joe Root mold, which is to transfer weight back or forward, but from the crease, and then bring out the sweep as their scoring shot. And the problem was that on this pitch, that was going to be perilous. And it's very, very difficult for them. I'm not making excuses for them, but it was all, these were always going to be the conditions where their technique was going to be exposed. Some of them, I thought, batted really gamefully. I don't think it'd be right for England fans just to complain about the pitch for all sorts of reasons, because home advantage is home advantage. And it happens around the world. It happens in New Zealand, Australia, England, India, no difference. What they should also bear in mind is that during the partnership between Ollie Pope and Ben Folkes, they batted for well over an hour and they did actually look perfectly comfortable. Their techniques were able to withstand it. And it was only not a freak dismissal, but, you know, a piece of really poor luck that saw Ollie Pope strangled down the leg side to a loosener from Maharan Siraj. Folkes didn't get out, did he? He was 42 unbeaten at the other end by the close of England's innings. And you've also got to say the Indian spinners pitched the ball in the right areas. Ashwin, of course, a master in those conditions. But Akshar Patel, you know, the difference is that Akshar Patel did not bowl a bunch of full tosses. And England have bowled 35 full tosses in three innings of this series so far. 35, 31 of them from the off spinners. Part of that is because the Indians have moved their feet and got to the pitch of the ball, turned the occasional ball into a full toss. But for the most part, because they've been loose. They've been loose with their lengths. And the Indian spinners didn't give England those sort of get-out-of-jail-free balls. Yeah. So you've got to say that basically, as England outplayed India in the first match, in pretty much all departments, India have outplayed England in all departments in this match. It sets the series up nicely. You'll hear me say it sets the series up nicely. It's because the result is a foregone conclusion. India are going to win. We're going to go to Ahmedabad for the day-night test with it all square, which is going to be thrilling. But I mean, we should probably talk in more detail about today before we fling forward to Ahmedabad.
Yeah, it started with Rishabh Pant at the crease, batting, not chirping and not wicket-keeping or diving for catches. He finished with 58 not out of 77. Not too many runs added, just about 20-25 odd runs from India. I thought it was a bit disappointing that India couldn't add too many runs, but it was also understandable because you can't really expect the tail-enders to score too many runs on a pitch like this. But Ollie Stone, you discussed about Ollie Stone yesterday. He was brilliant. He took two wickets. Moin Ali with those two wickets. And Rishabh Pant stranded at 58. The important thing, though, is even if we don't label it as a complaint, but there has been a debate about the pitch. And your colleague at the BBC, Michael Wan, he's been very vocal about it. The world-famous debate now. Across the world debate, bridging the gap between England and Australia. We'll come to that in a bit. But the big fact here is that Rohit Sharma got 161. That's more than the entire England batting together. And even Rahane and Pant got 67 and 58. So you're looking at two batsmen who got 50s. One got a century and a half century. And then he's looking good in the second innings, isn't he, Rohit Sharma? But also, Ben Foulkes, he showed the way. There's one way to bat. That is the way Rishabh Pant and Rohit Sharma showed. And the other way is to bat the way Ajinkya Rahane showed. And Ben Foulkes did the way Ajinkya Rahane batted. Ollie Pope also batted well, 22 of 57. But it was the top order that really came undone. And it was my big worry with the English top order, especially on a pitch like this. Players like Rory Burns, Sibley, Dan Lawrence, not too much experience, a bit lightweight in terms of their spin playing ability, if I can say so. Joe Root on this pitch, maybe at number three, but then you don't want to disturb the order. You don't want to disturb what's working. And I was really intrigued how Joe Root would bat. Would he go all out attacking because he's in such red hot form? And he tried doing that. Well, was it the first sweep that he played, which ballooned up and was caught at short fine leg? Probably the first sweep. And I thought as soon as that wicket fell, I was like, okay, that's the English innings done.
Yes, it was. And he might have connected with that. He'll probably look back at it and think, was it right to bring out the sweep with the ball turning away? And he won't have seen much of Axel Patel, doesn't play in the IPL. He'll probably think twice about that shot next time. He took longer to unfurl the sweep, actually, on a flatter track in the first test. He took a little while to get himself in. And when he was in, he started to play it. But I think you hit the nail on the head. It's England's top three in these conditions. And it happens quite frequently when England come to India. The last time they came with Ben Duckett, who started at the top of the order against Bangladesh. And, you know, this is a man who's used to facing a Duke's ball, seaming around, nibbling about. And his first test match, Mehdi Hasan is bowling off spin on a pitch that's ragging and turning past his left hander, past his outside edge. So I feel for them because it's not easy. You know, Rory Burns has made his test career on the back of excellent performances in English first-class cricket on pitches that are entirely different against bowling that's entirely different. Dom Sibley has shown signs of how he can adapt his game, as he did in the second innings of the first test, or the first innings, I should say, of the first test. But, no, it was turning more, let's face it, and it was a tougher proposition. And so your technique is tested that much more. Now, as for the rights and wrongs of it, yes, a couple of my colleagues, Jonathan Agnew and Michael Vaughan, were very outspoken in their criticisms, didn't think that it was a suitable pitch for test cricket. I think, you know, to a degree, what will happen if you have pitches like this is that as a spectacle, I think it obviously helps the side that wins the toss, but it also helps the side that is really more capable in those conditions. And India is more capable in those conditions. And so it widens the gulf. But in exactly the same way that England have seen India coming and left grass on the pitch at Lord's and tossed a lovely dark red Duke's ball to Jimmy Anderson and said, you know, I mean, this is what happens. If we really wanted the game to be sort of perfect, then everybody would play in neutral venues, you know.
Or that's never groundsman, you know. That's not going to happen,
Well, it's not going to happen. And I don't actually think that it was a poor spectacle. I think, you know, as a contest, it wasn't a spectacle because we knew pretty much, we sort of knew before tea on day one how this was going to play out. So in that sense, as a contest, it wasn't really a spectacle. But in terms of watching the skill of the people on show and seeing people being tested and seeing how they rise to those challenges, it was a spectacle. And as I said, you know, Ben Foulkes has come into this side having played no first-class cricket for a year and a half. And it's unfamiliar conditions for him as well, incidentally. You know, he's also been brought up in England on English pitches, and he adapted. So, you know, you've got to say, hats off to him. He showed the way that it can be done. If everyone had batted like he and Ollie Pope, then England would have put up a much stiffer resistance. But I'm not going to be critical of the England team for it, because there's all sorts of reasons why. There's all sorts of reasons in the structure of English cricket and the amount of cricket they play and where they play it. That means that they were not really going to be able to compete on this surface. Now, I think, as I said before, it sets things up for a pink ball game when I wonder what will happen in. Or maybe it sets a template for India that they think, hang on, this is how we're going to win. We're going to make sure these pitches turn.
Let's make a spin-friendly pink ball test weekend. I mean, that would be a spectacle in itself.
That would be weird.
I mean, and I wonder how the pink ball with a hard seam would behave under lights on a spin, on a track like this. Imagine if you're playing this test match under lights with the pink ball. How would that be? I mean, I would love to see, I'm sure Michael Vaughan would love to see it, and a lot of people who found this pitch bad wouldn't like to see it either. But I would love to see if they make a similar sort of wicket, not exactly the same, but a similar sort of wicket, which is giving assistance to spinners more than the fast bowlers. And then you throw the pink ball at them and say, okay, go, have a go at it. But we'll come back to the pink ball test later, a lot later. Right now, because we have talked about the pitch and we've talked about the debate, let's bring up those tweets. Michael Vaughan saying it's entertaining cricket as things are happening all the time. But let's be honest, this pitch is a shocker. Not making any excuses as India have been better, blah, blah, blah. But this is a test match pitch which has been prepared for day five or to last 5 days. And then Shane Warne quote tweeting him. And did he get more retweets than that? Yeah, he actually got more retweets and likes than that, which suggests a lot more people agree with Shane Warne, which is a world-ending event in itself. Shane Warne says the toss was more important to win in the first test than this one, as it did nothing in the first 2 days in the first test, and then it exploded. This one is a turner from ball one, and England should have bowled out India for 220, and no different between spinning and seaming, and Rohit showed how to play on the surface. Ben Folkes did as well. Ajinkya Rahane and Rishabh Pant did as well. So a lot of truth in what Shane Warne said. But first of all, before I give my opinion on this, we've already heard what Daniel thinks. If you're team Shane Warne or if you're team Michael Warne, do leave us a message. You can find us on Twitter. If you're not listening to us via the link that we have shared on Twitter, but you do please reach out to us and let us know what you think, whether you're team Shane Warne or team Michael Warne on this. My personal feeling is the first test in Chennai, and India thought, hold on, we struggled on this pitch for 2 days. And when I say we, Ashwin and their spinners struggled on a pitch, it had nothing. And then the moment India started batting, yes, they batted poorly in the first innings on day three, but it was still something happening on the pitch on day three as compared to the first 2 days. And then they got the worst part of the pitch through those last 3 days. Of course, does not condone the fact how badly India played. But again, this is the bottom line. After the match, the Indian team management or the think tank sat down and said, you know what, if you want to play this by spin, because we lost our wickets to spin, we lost our wickets to Bess and Leach, we have better spinners than Dominic Bess and Jack Leach, all respect to them. They said, let's make a wicket that turns from day one, from ball one, and let's see who has the better spinners. And we have the better spinners. That's our home advantage. So yes, the toss is helpful in this condition. But at the same time, it's not as pivotal as it was in the first test. And it's sort of equated the two teams. You have two spinners. We have two spinners or two and a half spinners. You have a couple of paces. We have a couple of paces. You have 7-8 batsmen. We have 7-8 batsmen. Let's go. Let's see who plays well when the toss is taken out of the equation. And I think it's not a pitch debate. It's actually a toss debate. Do you know what I mean, Daniel? On a pitch like this, you allow maybe the visiting team to bat first. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But you probably would know better, because the English county game has had this trial of allowing the away travelling team to pick whether they want to bowl or bat first. No toss.
Well, no, not quite. They allow the away team to bowl first.
Yeah.
They don't allow the away team to bat first.
Okay.
So if you want to bat first, you have to toss for it.
Okay.
I mean, I actually don't think that on the basis of one test match that we need to fling out the normal laws of cricket.
Yeah.
I do happen to think that it was a good toss to win, because I think it has deteriorated in the space of a day and a bit. I mean, it was turning yesterday, and England's spinners didn't bowl as well as India's spinners. But I do think that it was, on that first morning, noticeably easier to bat than it certainly was by the end of play yesterday, and certainly by the beginning of today. But, you know, Rohit Sharma got 161. The rest of the Indian team got 168. England scored 130 odd. You know, I mean, it's, I know it's kind of bogus maths to take one innings out, but it does show you the enormity of that performance from Rohit.
Yeah,
he batted absolutely superbly, and he showed an intent which he showed again today when the pitch was really turning. He got an enormous slice of luck when the umpire decided that if you hide your bat behind your leg, you're playing a shot, when he clearly wasn't. But you know, it's nonetheless, he still used his feet well to the spinners. He was murderous on them. And he showed how it's possible to bat. Now, because if somebody plays a match-winning innings, it's a match-winning innings, and we should take our hat off to a match-winning innings rather than, you know, completely changing the way cricket is and causing a huge kerfuffle. I mean, I'm delighted to see that the England team are not, you know, in years gone by, in a couple of decades back, there would have been a kind of sulking, well, it's not fair. Well, that's not happening with this English team. They're getting on with it as well as they should do. Because, you know, that's the way, as they say, the cookie, and in this case, the pitch, crumbles. It does. So, you know, I don't really know what more to say on it, really, because I think that you'll find that with partisan people, and we know that cricket is full of partisan people, and with India having a population of 1.3 billion and England having a population of 60 million, there will be louder partisan voices coming from India because there are more of them than there are in England. But if we can put partisanship aside for 1 minute and remember what it is we're doing, which is watching the spectacle, 22 men playing cricket on the same patch, and just revel in the skills that were on show. And there were some great skills. There were great skills from Rohit, great skills from Ashwin, great skills from Folks.
Great skills from Rishabh Pant, because I feel Rishabh that Pant. This 2021 version of Rishabh Pant is absolutely magnificent. It's just so much box office. It's so much unpredictable and exciting to watch because he's so consistent. And the confidence from batting is now flowing into his wicket keeping. He's always chattering behind the stumps. It's wonderful to watch, even as they have turned on the volume on the stump mics. So yeah, I mean, it's been brilliant in the spectacle way. It's been brilliant. It's brought the equation between bat and ball a lot closer, is what I would say. And I think that's the end of the pitch debate. Just the last bit on this episode today. Where do you see, or I mean, we know where this test match is headed. Sorry to say that, but how do you see it unfolding it to its final destination? that's a more relevant question.
Well, it's always very, very difficult to put pressure on a side that's 247 runs ahead with only one wicket down. So so the issue will be that England aren't going to crowd. They're not going to have lots of people around the bat. What will happen, I think, is that India have no onus on them to declare. There's 3 days left. They want to get as many miles into England's legs as possible. They want to get as many runs onto their bats as possible. So a lot will depend on whether there are nine balls out there that take Indian wickets. And when that happens, which could be, you know, sometime after tea tomorrow, I think we might see England bat before the end of the day. I would expect the game to be wrapped up well before tea on day four with a thumping Indian win. And we're going to be going to Ahmedabad all square for the excitement of the pink ball test in a new stadium. It'll be a new experience for us all. And frankly, I can't wait.
And hopefully, we'll have a spin-friendly wicket. And I want to see Ravichandran Ashwin ripping the ball on that spin-friendly wicket, or Jack Leach for that matter, ahead of people like, say, Bumrah or Anderson, just to see what happens when you bowl with a pink ball under lights on a pitch which is turning square. And yes, I agree with you. It's just about it's a matter of time and perhaps just deciding when the game ends. Again, I would also hope, I'm working on radio this week, so I hope I get to work on the fourth day. So I would say lunch day four, and probably you've gone for tea day four. So let's see.
An hour before tea. So half an hour before tea. Because I think
pre-lunch,
India will bat. I think India will bat quite well tomorrow.
Pre-lunch and post-lunch. That's where our difference of opinion is in terms of how, or in terms of when this is ending, and not how this is ending. We'll see you tomorrow, hopefully with more opinion and perhaps a bit closer to how and when this test match is going to end. Thanks for listening. Until then, take care and goodbye.